We're going to gather back and get ready to go and give you another 50 minutes. The screamer is ready to go.
Scream on, brother.
That's all right. Well, you can't hear? Okay, good. Oh, thank you. So we gather back in. Let's get ready for some more and... Once again, good to see everybody. We try and listen, we'll be glad to talk to everybody and later on pray for people or whatever is necessary. Don't want any demonic presence anywhere, any place to go away from this conference unless they're completely defeated, okay, and ousted. We... We want to take a look at the notes. That was the introduction, and we want to go to the notes now and begin to try to get into this. Please remember to ask questions along the way if you need to, because we know that the notes are designed in one direction, but they're always, you know, just wide open for other things. I know that the last couple of times people had major questions about the book, so we can talk about those things too. This is a session two, but we are going to be on, I think, page one. And most of us here probably already know the basics in the beginning, but understanding Revelation 19:19. Okay, we're going out on a futuristic limb, per se. That, like all of the infinite, uncreated, eternal Spirit of God's predictive insight, is irrevocable, unchangeable, infallible, accurate. Nostradamus and Edgar Casey, Sylvia Brown, old Gene Dixon, all the remote viewers are not guided by the Spirit of God. They are guided by spirits, finite spirits. Finite spirits can give some prediction and some insights and try to arrange things. Acts 16:16, Paul dealt with a girl that had Python within her, a spirit. And she was able to predict things. So it's without question, psychics can be sometimes right on. Most of the time not. Remote viewers like Ed Dames, McMoneagle, Monroe, Buchanan, and all those who have gotten into it, including Morehouse. Now there's a great investment from our side, and I purposely bring up remote viewing because of the military aspect, their belief in the acquisition of non-human enhancement for making, to weaponize powers. The Men Who Stare at Goats was a funny movie, but we've engaged the people who read Colonel Shannon's book back in the early 90s. They handed it to me. We've engaged Psy Warriors, remote viewers. We've done Deliverance. We've engaged them as they practice their powers on us. In the beginning, we used to get headaches, get fussy, get, you know, weirded out because we didn't know that inside of them, sub-personalities, energized demonically, were able to project out saying that they're projecting their energy. Behind that energy is always an entity. And so the remote viewer in that Fort Bragg Psy Warrior that we dealt with said that it was an energy that helped them get out into the ether, that they learned how to triangulate, and they were learning how to do psychic assassination and attack people. That out in the ether, that even when they would get three of the military people or others together to go out there and go further and further, somehow out in the ether there was a barrier they could never get past. So my concern, when I stood in Roswell with a stack of newsletters of our Shatter the Darkness newsletters back then in those days, that had the entire story of a remote viewer that we did engaged and the energy we commanded to acknowledge who it was, and it said Argon. The person said, "Oh, it's beautiful, Russ. It's translucent. This is the one that has been guiding me and helping me get out." Paul and John and was it Ezekiel? They all got out. The construct of our being that God created We are able to get out of our bodies. The Spirit of God led them out, and the Spirit of God showed them things by God's sovereign initiation. There is a counterfeit to that. Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about Paul's praying that the eyes of your heart would be, the Greek word, enlightened, brightened, illuminated by the Spirit of God, so you can know the inheritance, the incomparable power. What is the eyes of your heart? It's the human capacity, the construct, to receive spiritually, to perceive, to know, to feel. It goes so far as a human. When the Spirit of God comes in, all of that is lit up, and we can feel God. We can sense, we can close our eyes and know His beauty. And it's but a taste right now. When that capacity, a demon spirit, a planos, a counterfeit, comes and awakens, and they call it in the occult world the third eye. They know that their inner eye has been opened. But open to what? I see dead people. I have abilities. I perceive things. The human capacity, you know, we all can discern. We can all perceive. We can all feel somebody walking the door, somebody a little, you know, as a believer with the Spirit of God in us. Wow, discernment should be extended. You know, we should have some really Holy Spirit perspective and, you know, perception. We should be able to have some real discernment when you're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, in the capacities that God created. This is normal. This is natural. Without which we die and we lose our soul, our lives. When demons come to a unsafe person, and their spirit is dead to God, the sin nature is an operating code. The death code is in us, genetically even. So it's the platform where the enemy can operate. So when you have this picture of the barrage of demonic presence and power and the ramping up and the pouring out, in the 50s, did we have, you know, a million books written on the subject? Did we have the Moonies? Anybody in the 50s know anything about the New Age movement, really? How about the Church of Satan? The 50s was one thing. It was kind of like the calm before the storm. It was already raging. In the 30s, Alice Bailey had already been being guided to write her books. In the 40s, Jack Parsons and others did the Babylon Working and other things that have been done by U.S. rocket scientists, engaging the darkest of the darkest of powers, trying to create the moon child of Aleister Crowley, a new Nephilim. Many of the chosen ones we talk about in the book, satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality, that's the terms are given. It's far deeper than that. The concept behind the creation is to attempt Nephilim or something like it, a transmuted superhuman being. Controlled and used. Colin Ross and others, and even though Colin Ross that I know of is not a believer in Christ, he has brought out information when he dealt with the CIA doctors as he, well, rephrased his book or retitled his book. I don't think he sees the deep spiritual side of this at all. There is no healing for satanic ritual abuse without the power of Jesus Christ and the authority of getting rid of demons and the inner healing of Jesus to bring healing to in wholeness to the personal construct, the human personality. But the attempts are there. The powers and the abilities are broader and vast. And we haven't even touched on the real Luciferians and the probably anywhere from 4 to 20 million satanic ritual summoning of demons and sending of powers that have been done since the 70s. In the United States alone to further the cause. We'll come to that. In Genesis 6, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and then again later. After the flood, the Zamzumis, the Emims, there's whole tribes. It occurred again. And I don't know the I don't have the information. I mean, Enoch can do, you know, you look at Enoch if you want to on this. Biblical revelation doesn't give us exactly how it occurred, but that it did. There were the Geborim. They were there again. And these were, and you talk about, and a lot of Christians years ago in theology, and again, most theology books don't say anything about this at all. Systematic theology, it doesn't even touch this subject, let alone have a section on spiritual warfare. That just tells you what how people have been trained for the last 60 years. And I've got probably a couple thousand of those books. And they don't train on this subject or touch it, but it has everything to do with the end of days. So I'm glad you brought this up. Why, as Christians, do we not understand that the Holy Spirit, immaterial presence of God, touched the material inside the womb egg of Mary? And that Jesus Christ is genetically, in every single concept, he is God in human flesh. Fully God, fully man, totally. So we have, from spirit to physical, conception. It's without question in Genesis 6 that Bnei Elohim came down and caused the conception and created. I would call this mutations. And then again later. So it did occur later. I can't say you when. The speculation is, did they come down again? Did more come out? Did some, you know, leave and you know, go out of, off the planet and come back? Those would be all things we can talk about. But biblically speaking, it happened again. And if you look at the, if you look at Israel, all the tribes that were incensed to destroy Israel were either highly demonized, demon-infested, multi-generationally, or they were Nephilim or down the road generational Nephilim tribes. Why did God command that all, including the animals, had to be killed? Some of us forget that it wasn't that God just wiping out poor humans. He's wiping out unsavable Nephilim. The Nephilim. Now, I won't do this today, but if you go to the book of Revelation about wild beasts of the earth being part of what brings destruction, and you go to the Old Testament and study the terminology of wild beasts, I'm going to tell you now, but I'll bring this out later. I believe it's in reference to Nephilim. They're unsavable because of their nature. They are not human. Though they may look mostly, you know, a lot like humans, but the bloodlines. Now, again, I'm going to give you speculation for a moment here. Okay, here's what I speculate: that the conception of the fallen cherubs, and I believe that there's been a trial and an attempt and learning how, you know, the conception. How do you counterfeit? Think about prophecy, signs, wonders, miracles, every charismatic gifting. And Satan is counterfeiting them all. I believe that's true about the conception. I think the conception is a black Madonna. Well, a woman that's bloodlined, maybe to the Nephilim. That her whole being is given to that sign. There's a reason why we've been given the genealogy of Jesus, demonstrating his pure human genealogy all the way through Adam. Bypassing all, well, demonized tribes and any kinds of Nephilim. So, you know, the occultists believed, and Helena and others, by the guidance of demons, in secret doctrine and others, believed that the Aryans, Lumerians, Hyperboleans, but the Aryans were a pure, and I'm saying in the demonic sense, they think in the good sense, pure God-man human race, a crossbreed between human and God. They were powerful, strong, bigger, broader. Were they the Atlantean, you know, were they, you know, we can look at all of that. But we do know biblically there were tribes that when Israel came, these are like giants. They wondered how they going to deal with them. King Og, how are they going to deal with these they look like human, but they're not human. And that's why in the Old Testament, the battle belongs to the Lord. Even with sword and shield and horse, Israel. Goliath, in my opinion, is at the very least a generationally down the road. Well, you know, Nephilim, you know, then they marry Nephilim or take Nephilim. I don't know if they even cared about marriage. They just take whoever and take whoever and take whoever. And then they create it. Then look at Goliath. My opinion would be that he would be like a Nephilim, but generationally down the road. So if that's true, that from Adam, Noah, all the way to Jesus, the bloodline of humanity was preserved. If in the Old Testament, after the flood, Nephilim creation occurred again, and even though it was watered down, if a Nephilim married another human and they had a 90% Nephilim, and then they married and they had an 80% Nephilim, that was the concept of Himmler, who was into genetic breeding of chickens to create white chickens. You know, Himmler was all into genetic creation of pure white chickens that brought him to the concept spiritually of creating pure Aryan God-men and creating Lebensborn, highly secretive spiritual genetic birthing centers. 400,000 to 800,000 created that were taken all over the world in the end of the 30s and the beginning of the 40s. And they mostly would be in their 60s, late 60s today, all over the world. Where are these Lebensborn people? Pure blue eyes, or at least the attempt for it. Spiritually, they were to go and mate in cemeteries, anything spiritually that would bring us. That process has become finely tuned in conception rituals and demonization and the attempt to demonize the conception and the development inside the womb. So I would just say that they, like the scripture says, they came again. And without some kind of flood or annihilation, that bloodline, and again, my opinion and speculation would be that it went secretive. It shows up in the Old Testament. It shows up in occult lore. It shows up in the secret teaching of the ages, the Rosicrucians. It shows up along the way. And if anybody who's dealt with, you know, real Luciferic chosen ones that have inside of them subpersonalities who've been through the marriage to the beast things, they speak in German, they're pro-world leader and believe they're here to create the massive anarchy that will bring in the troops of that they will be bring in the Antichrist. They all believe that they're pure blood. They all believe that they are somewhat, in some sense, genetically or maybe, like one officer told me that if I cast all the demons out of her, because at conception, a subpersonality named Piet from a U.S. base in Holland described the process of the moment of conception, which is like an atomic unspillable moment. They say they've learned how to demonize the spirit, demonize the egg, killing off the human spirit and recreating Nephilim. Now, I don't believe them 100% because I've seen people get saved, healed, delivered, and whole again. If they are human in their core, savable, Jesus died for them. So if we engage Nephilim, this is a big issue. And I would say two things. I believe there's the attempt to recreate, even in the 40s, even a rocket scientist of the U.S. government in the what desert? Mojave Desert? What desert was it? The Babylon Working? Anybody know? Where they attempted with Aleister Crowley and the reading of a ritual during the mating of him and his woman or whatever, and the goal was to invoke the whore of Babylon, as they called it, the demon, and cause it to come and create a moon child on the inside. That's in 1947. That's intertwined in you from a U.S. rocket scientist. You know how much occultism in the deepest and darkest sense is in science? The Nazi doctors, the Nazi scientists. Where did they get a lot of the technology? See, I don't believe that Satan just brings voice to skull, get you off track with God. I believe he offers non-human enhancement abilities and technologies. And I'll say this real quick and just keep it in the back of your mind. Keep your eyes on the development of planetary defense weapons systems. What will the United States or the world do with planetary defense weapon systems, chemical lasers and others, that are only meant to be pointed in the sky and to blast out of the sky any kind of intrusion coming down? Keep your eyes on the technology. Did you know that scientists sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and they get ideas that pop into their heads to develop their... Did you know the Ingo Swann and the development of remote viewing was in a swimming pool, and all of a sudden ideas popped into his mind to create coordinate remote viewing and train the people at Stargate and begin to bring Ed Dames and all the people together and to create U.S. military individuals that could look at Russia and look at other places and learn remote viewing that has turned into now remote touch, remote healing, remote attack. But is it just a human thing? Ed Mitchell in Roswell, an astronaut in the United States of America, stood in front of everybody and said, if anybody tells you this is demonic, they're wrong. And there I was with this newsletters from Shatter about a Fort Bragg Psi warrior that we did a deliverance. The energy that enabled them to get out into the ether was identified as argon. Argon cussed me out and was angry because we commanded him to be contained and not go anywhere and show what he really was. When he was commanded to show what he really was, the remote viewer went, oh, get it out of me. And we commanded argon to leave. Argon left with some screams and cussings. And they could no longer remote view. Remote viewers, they will say, this is military, and this is now spreading among New Agers and psychics and universities, and Mind Dazzle, the project of this, has been given free to high school libraries across the United States by Ed Dames. Ed Dames has done a lot of predicting of things and even claimed that he remote viewed Satan. I think Satan remote viewed him. And we need to tell Ed that. In all of the discussion, these guys, these men, these people are not my enemies per se. These are the people whom God loves and that we want to reach. So we must scream in the best of ways to say, it's not a human ability. We only have capacity so far, but it can be enhanced from this side or from this side. So, remote viewers, if you go to SciTech on the web, SciTech will teach remote viewing and say it's a natural, normal, every human being can do this. And that's basically correct. But you have to go passive and be linked to what they call the collective unconscious. You know, Jung, the cultist guy, psychiatrist. And what it's really called, and they mention this, the Akashic Records, the Hall of Records, where all the information spans, like this is the globe, it all spans around the globe. There's this living, conscious energy that we need to tap into. And that if we can just allow that data, that revelation to come into us and connect us, I could be in Russia, I can be in China, I can see the future, I can see the past. Remote viewers are remote viewing Jesus. They're remote viewing the cross. They're remote viewing all of these things. And they're coming up with an occult version of a de-deified Christ, a good man. It's no different than Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, David Spangler, and all the rest of the occult writers. They're getting the same information from finite planos spirits. Data. They call it data. It's revelation. Spirit-given revelation coming in. And they are now the new promoters. And as I've engaged them, they said when they show up, they're gonna get me physically. That their content coming in, they use it, this was an individual out of Arizona, is infallible. Their information on Jesus is infallible. He's a good man, he's a good teacher, he's a good psychic. That's what they say. What I say again, here's the rule. Finite demonic spirits will never tell you the truth about Jesus Christ. They will always present a Jesus de-deified and no saving power, and you can't know him. Just a rabbit's foot, put him in your pocket, that kind of stuff. What good is that? So we have to engage and bring and scream out Ephesians 2. The prince, the archi, the ruler of the power, the Greek word domain, of the eros, of the air. The Greek word, the immediate, dense atmosphere of the earth. He is the prince of the power of the eros. The spirit who supernaturally is operative in those who are disobedient. Description of being unsaved, unregenerate. The sin code in nature is the open door, like in Judas, for the operating influence. Create political ideology, military vision, new religions, new spiritualities, all kinds of deception, and the giving of non-human enhancements. Other questions? Things? Yes. Good point. U.S. military and the concern of soldiers. You know, the concept of Psy warriors, the creation of advanced soldiers, First Earth Battalion manual that Colonel Shannon brought out in the 70s, by the way, he's been recalled, and the use of this non-human enhancement even for today's use. It is a vast concern, and this is important. I believe that there has to be a military for a United States. But I believe that in biblical revelation, prophetic insight, Satan is after influencing and setting up the layering and the precursors for the future. So in 1947, G.H. Esterbrooks, the world-renowned psychiatrist, wrote a book called Hypnosis. Go to, I forget which chapter towards the back, the weaponization of the sex. They learned how to split human personality in soldiers. They learned a subaltern who could be trained for assassination, for reconnaissance, for sowing disinformation, for doing anything without the main person knowing and being amnesic. He describes all of this in 1947, hired by the U.S. military. Then he leaks, what would be good would be to create many of these kind of soldiers in every single branch of U.S. military so that we would have a sixth column for the future. 1947. Where did he get the information on splitting and creating sub-personalities? The Nazis knew it well. They understood it very well, including then the spiritual enhancement. So I took military science courses purposely at the university where I was a police chaplain. I wanted to see things get in, and there's great concern. I tell soldiers all the time, signing up and others that I know, whatever you do, do not get recruited for any mind enhancement, human enhancement, sleep, you know, testings. Whatever you do, don't give in. I believe U.S. military has been infiltrated, that there is a shadow government to U.S. military, or shadow military to U.S. military. I believe that there are sleepers across the board, personally. I believe there are sleepers on nuclear weapons bases, missile bases. I believe there are sleepers, so that when all hell breaks loose, the Black Awakening, that instead of military being able to coordinate response collectively, I personally believe there will be great sabotage. When one soldier is activated and turns into a different kind of soldier and will slaughter without reservation his fellow soldiers. Same thing in police departments. That's where I was. The person that headed the crimes, Northeast Ohio regional group, taught and brought me in to teach in the police academy, recruited me. High complex military cult mobile, spoke 4 to 5 other languages. The person you talk to would be like, oh, this person's nothing and normal. But when they switch to other personalities, their ability with weapons, explosives, if they turn to another personality empowered demonically and progress intact, the only way to stop them is physically bringing them down. So this is why part of the book and the battle is, this is part of where we need to evangelize. And when you hear me in the later in the afternoon talk about targeting the political world and targeting the military world with fierce incredibly fierce and powerful prayer and great warning. Sidney Gottlieb and many others, Jolly West and Oren and others, did not do us a great favor by taking in, and DARPA may not be doing a very good thing, by taking in anything that would give superior enhancement, including any kind of super soldier, whether that's the splitting, creating, giving energies, finding abilities, transgenics. That lends itself to Luciferian science for a reason. On the day of Armageddon, notice all of those who have been saved and born of the Spirit of God, we're all gone. On the day of Armageddon, we are not here. Revelation 19:19, the largest supernaturally charged military, highest technologies in all of human history is on the field. The only way they got to the field was Revelation 16. The dragon and the beast and the false prophet, in a mother of all rituals, a planetary spiritual way, out of their mouth comes demon spirits going to the kings of the earth to gather them together for the great day of God Almighty, to Armageddon. In fulfillment of a 3,000-year-old psalm, Psalm chapter 2, why do the nations rage, the peoples plot in vain, and the kings of the earth take their stand against God and against Messiah? Why? 3,000 years ago, communication to the kings of the earth, to the nations, to the peoples. Here's the warning, here's the invitation. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Embrace Christ, come to God, get out of this. Because outside of that, the psalm predicts a gathering of the peoples, the nations, and the kings. The fulfillment, the supernatural side of it, Revelation 16. The embodiment of it, Revelation 19:19. On the field that day, the only thing they're there to do is lift their weapons into the sky. And they will attempt to annihilate the Son of God in his descent. What does it say in Revelation 19:19? You got to take a look. Don't just listen to me. Make sure you take a look at this, okay? It says they gather together to make war on the rider of the white horse. Revelation 19:11. When you read in Revelation 9, a door is opened, right? And a white horse, right? He who sat on it, King of kings, Lord of lords. And his armies are with him. You want to know about prophetic revelation? Are you born again? You know the Lord Jesus right now? That is the future accurate picture of where you are on that day. When it talks about those dressed in white, redemptive clothing, the angels of God in heaven don't need redemptive clothing. Well, they'll be there too. You want to talk about a massive army coming down out of the heavens? And this king, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ coming, the descent coming down. On the field, there's no believers there at that time. Whatever you believe about the timing of the catching up, the harpezo, call it the rapture if you want, but the harpezo, the catching up. Whatever you believe about the timing, it's without question, it's definitely before the visible revelation, okay? Because we are here, glorified, indestructible immortality. We've already seen the Lord. We are now coming down, and the Prince of Peace is coming to do the first thing he comes to do, to annihilate the power of Antichrist and the false prophet and to throw them alive into the lake of fire, right? Did you read verse 20? I tell all of this Luciferians that taunt me and write to me and say things, they are in future predictive prophecy. They are there on the field. They want to be a troop of Antichrist, okay? There they are in the end. What happens to them? In less than a day, maybe less than 1 hour, the largest military, supernaturally charged, highly technical, global system is annihilated in minutes or an hour, definitely less than a day, by Jesus Christ speaking. What does it say in verse 20? Because they've already taken the mark, they've already worshipped the image of the beast. That's only reflective of those who have totally rejected Christ, The mark, whatever the mark totally is, I have, in my opinion, I believe means an acquisition of demonic presence for control and connection. Worship the image of the beast, can't do it without demonic empowerment and connection and force to. Every soldier on the field that day, every general, every political leader, they have the mark, they worship the beast, they're spiritually energized, empowered from what occurred in Revelation 16, the mother of all satanic ritual. They are only on the field by the power, supernatural manifested power. So if I say again and again, the spiritual warfare we see now, though vast, and though we know that most of the body of Christ is not even engaged, is nothing in comparison to what happens the moment the great hell on earth breaks, the rise of Antichrist, the infusion of globalism, and the beginning of the end, with ending on the day of Armageddon. This is incredible. And you cannot get to, you know, maybe hundreds of millions of soldiers, the most highly advanced, technologically advanced military system, overnight. And so there's development and development and development and development. There's incremental development. There's ideas given to military science in the development of super soldiers, people with the precursors to listen to and be moved by the wave. Talk about a wave. This is a wave, satanic wave. There is no greater satanic release of force in history, than what we see in Revelation 16, because it's global and it draws the totality of the world into a place called Armageddon. Ultimately, it's a good thing. It's the pinnacle of satanic possession and acquisition of human life in the earth. On the other side of that, it is the demonstration of the sovereign, infinite, indestructible God. The same one they killed on the cross a few thousand years ago comes not back as a suffering servant, folks. King of kings, Lord of lords, his first target is the Antichrist and the beast, and then the armies, and the total annihilation. And then we move into and can talk about the millennium. No war for 1,000 years. Does that ever happen in fallen human history? There's only one who can stop all rape, all racism, and all war. And if you know, this is the whole thing. And the New Age movement is the counterfeit church. It's a counterfeit movement. You know, New Age of peace, New Age of this. Everything the New Age preaches is counterfeit to what is real. And we need to really expound what is real. I think a lot of New Agers would be fascinated by the 1 Corinthians 15 glorification on a subatomic level, by the exerting of the power of God. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Same power that caused the conception and the God in human flesh. Pretty interesting. You see, when it comes to the bloodline stuff we already mentioned, I'll just say real quick, it's been a great joy to be a part of creation and procreation. We waited 10 years, had to do a lot of praying. Wife went into surgery. Nothing worked. Prayed more. Asked God to bring healing to my wife's womb. Well, everything worked. And there was a day in which I was there when my wife was opened up because of a C-section thing she needed to go through. And they reached down in through side of her, and there was a little baby girl. And I screamed. It shocked the doctors. It's a girl. I screamed it so loud. I was just out of my mind with this little baby girl, seeing her come out. They counted the fingers and did everything else. You know, it's like this dadhood, this protective, is there any boys around? Get all the boys out of the room. That's how it was for me. Get them all out of here. She was born. She's sitting over there. She's 19 now. But it was human to human by God's, the procreation. See, the mutation is B'nai Elohim to human and mutation. And the worst is, well, when then we look at God in human flesh, you have to have that picture and understanding of even the sense of genetically. Jesus is not coming back in a different body. I mean, he's a glorified body, but this is the body. He rose from the dead. So your body is significant. Salvation includes the total salvation and coming, instantaneous, unspillable moment of time, immortal, you know, your body being turned into, you know, and whatever you don't like about your body now, I'm sure it'll be repaired in the glorification, okay? I'm sure it will be, okay? Let's run through a few more things and make sure that we get to some of the notes, okay? I'm going to go over this real quick again. It just talks about the beginning, okay? It all began as a spiritual war. The insurrection, Ezekiel 28, this is page 1. We know that the once anointed cherub was perfect in all his ways until what? Iniquity, wickedness. Hebrew word, violent, willed, plotted choice. It was the exertion of will in the fullest violent way. It was a violent turning. In that chapter, there's a disintegration of the fall of the once anointed cherub. Everything about him disintegrates. Like a match, you burn it, everything then turns black. Jesus said later, in him there is no truth. There is nothing of God inside now. This is a turning inside out. He is genetically, DNA, spiritually, his being is 100% altered eternally. No fix. They wouldn't want it, and it won't happen. In the heavenlies, it was a violent, and so there was a trafficking, probably a reference to the one third of the angels too. I wonder what kind of persuasion, I wonder what kind of voice he spoke, that one third of the elect angels. I mean, this is the being that walked among the fiery stones of God. You and I haven't seen that. So the insurrection, theologians have said, well, where does sin start? Did God permit sin? I'm going to tell you right now, boldly, God did not permit sin. He's against sin. This was not his, I permit you to do this. He didn't do that. God wills against it. He didn't permit humanity to do it. He wills against it. And don't say if you fall into sin as a believer, well, God permitted it. He didn't permit you to do it. He didn't say, like, I give you permission to do that. You know, what parent says to their son or daughter, unless they're really corrupt, I permit you to have sex with 10 men, you know, when you're 12. I permit you to do acid and drugs and shoot up cocaine. No parent, good parent's going to say, I permit you to do that. Now, we as kids will do things. We must understand, God doesn't say, I give you permission. In the book, in the revelation of the fall, there's no permission to sin. There's possibility because the freedom of human will is what we are as a human being. God has infinite, infinite freedom and sovereign will. We have finite sovereign will. Go so far, we're free. I can jump another foot high, but I can't jump 10 feet high. God can jump 10 feet high. God, when you talk about the infinite nature, he can jump infinitely high. Do we understand infinite? No beginning, no end. If you took a backpack with a bunch of food in it and you went into God trying to find the end, you'll never find the end. You cannot find the end of God. Infinite is infinite. That's why we have the attribute of immeasurability. You cannot. What instrument will we use to measure God? How will you measure God? This is explosive. When you worship and you know, and see, you get to know God. Francis Schaeffer said, we'll never know God exhaustively, but we'll know him truly. Because it would take an infinite mind to know infinite mind. And only the Holy Spirit can do that, to know the deep things of God because he is God. This is amazing. And yet we have this finite but massively powerful cherub wills violently against God, scarfs a third of the angels. And if you read Revelation 12, the idea of flinging him to the ground, it was a violent recruiting. And once they crossed the line, his power was enforced over them. And that's why in the demonic structure, they all know in that kingdom, Satan is Lord. He has the power. Revelation 12 tells us what? Where do you read in all the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament, Satan is called the dragon? But five times now in the book of Revelation 12, the Spirit of God paints the picture of a megas, a huge, enormous dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil. slandering the people of God night and day, who leads the whole world astray. He was there the day Jesus was born. The dragon was waiting. He was waiting for the Christ child to be born so he could devour it. But the Christ child was snatched up to God, right? That's the Greek word harpezo, used in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive, harpezo. Same as Jesus. Isn't that great? It's the same thing. We're caught up. He's glorified. We shall be glorified. If you think this is the best it gets, forget it. We barely scratched the surface. Your joy, your feeling of presence, your being overwhelmed by God, all the rest. I mean, it would even be better if there was no sin nature to try to pull us back, no world to try to deceive us, and no Satan to try to tempt us and fight us. It'd be great if there was no opposition and just live our Christian life, live as a believer, But wait till you are glorified. The first few seconds of feeling glorified, looking at your body, eternal, indestructible, looking at angels. You know, the ones that are going to come up to you and say, man, you've really had to involve me in your life a lot. Can you imagine having a discussion with angels? You see Michael someday saying, you're allowed to go up and talk to him. And when you read Revelation, it says, what about believers like you and I? This is not true of those who have rejected and those New Agers. You shall see God, what? Face to face. Truly, but not infinitely. Truly's more than good enough. We got to take a 5-minute break. I've been waved down. So take another 5-minute break, run to the restroom, get a coffee. I'm not tired, so you can talk to me.